So as Jen mentioned, I've been living in Washington, D.C., and while there, I've been working in a mental health hospital called St. Elizabeth's Hospital. It is a maximum security mental health hospital in the southeast D.C. neighborhood of Anacostia, where the average individual in care is a 60-year-old African-American man who is committed there by the D.C. criminal court for anywhere between 3 and 5 years. There are bars on the doors when you walk in. There are cameras in every room. There are no hidden corners. I passed through 2 security checkpoints and 8 badge points under 6 cameras before I get to my office door every day. I work with serial killers and people who see themselves in need of exorcism or think they are the Queen of England or the President of the United States, FBI agents, or God, the Holy Self held in bondage. They live in the shadow of Washington, D.C., America's power center, hidden in the shadow of our society and our culture that allows us to look past buildings like St. Elizabeth's, because they are in shady locations, in the shady parts of town. It's the last place you think to look for something that is holy and sacred, a space that is full of light. Shadows, definitely. What with the visions that were in my head and maybe in our heads of places like this, from Silence of the Lambs, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the endless Netflix specials on serial killers and true crime. St. E's is the place that residents in Southeast D.C. know well because it has always been a part of their life since the 1860s. The wider and richer folks on the other side of town, they have the option to look at the Washington Monument, at the Capitol, at the White House, a place potentially full of its own type of madness, regardless of who is the president. So think about our own preconceptions of these shadowy filled places as I've described them. Let's check our feelings. The bars, the security doors, the people there, the cameras, the craziness. How does it feel? Is it scary? Is it worrisome? Do you feel pity? I want you to know that it is okay to feel those feelings as I talk. This church is most definitely a safe and sacred space to wrestle with these things, where we can acknowledge our feelings, our discomfort. If not to others, then maybe to ourselves. You might feel comfortable sharing them with me after the service, if that's something you're up to. That is what I do as a chaplain, after all. We hold the stories and confessions of people at St. Elizabeth's. We hold their pain, their grief, their desperation, their triumph, their joy, their victories. Because there are victories in a place like St. E's. And it might not seem like it on the outside when all you see is shadows. But the woman who came up to me after not speaking for years and asked me to play a gospel song on my guitar, that is a victory of light, friends. The man who wakes up one day and no longer has a plan to commit suicide if given the chance, that is a light. The formerly homeless person who approved their apartment for a Social Security card after living on the streets for 6 years has not shown any emotion, gives me a hug, a side hug for 2 seconds, but still, a light. Before walking out of the doors with the bars on them, we see both light and shadow. And as Jen read, Robert Johnson talks about our souls as compositions of both light and shadow. The lights are the strengths and the traits and the characteristics that we're proud of, that we can name. We can own them. We show them off to the world. We know our lights, even though they're not always positive. For example, my assumptions that I brought into my job at St. E's about folks with mental illness that I'd be working with, I was aware of them. It doesn't mean it was positive. But because I was aware of them, I could use them. I could harness them. So for example, I assumed that I would be the teacher in this hospital, But I would go in, I would teach some Bible study and some spirituality groups and lead services. Maybe we learn a little Hebrew, maybe do a little historical Jesus seminar. And when I began to wrestle with the arrogance of that assumption that I had something to teach, one that was called out by my colleagues and confidants in a sacred space, it showed me that I was unaware of that arrogance. It was in my shadow, as Johnson puts it. It's behind us. We can't see it. Becoming aware of it, wrestling with the classism, the racism, all the stuff that's in that assumption, turned it into a tool that I could use. I could flip it around and say, okay, I'm not the teacher now. I'm the one who's learning. I'm not the healthy one. I am the patient at St. Elizabeth's. I became the one being treated for my state of mind that said, oh, I'm better than this. I'm better than them. I'm different than the individuals in care there. That stuff was something I could not see. It was in my unawares. And it's neither good nor bad. It's a part of me. It's something that I learned, maybe you've learned, growing up from our culture, from the movies we watch, from everything that tells us that this American experiment has never been good at supporting those deemed other. Those who live in the shadow-filled parts of our world, in our cities and our counties, on the other side of the tracks in Lubbock, Texas, on the rough side of town in Washington, D.C. We don't always look at them, think about them, pour money into improving them until it benefits us. That's something we might not be aware of if it's in our shadows. But in our shadows, there is truth. Theologian Pete Rollins writes about how prisons in places like St. E's tell us more about ourselves than about the people that we put there. The problems that we try to hide, he says, are the ones we need to address most urgently. And when the light of truth shines on our shadows and the stuff that we don't want to acknowledge, we become aware of, when someone points it out to us in a sacred space, we become aware of our stuff, that baggage. We see both our lights and our shadows, and we can use them both. That's what I want to talk about today. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Black theologian James Cone, who passed away very recently, but he was the founder of what's called Black Liberation Theology, and he wrote, "Indeed, our survival and liberation depend upon our recognition of the truth when it is spoken and lived by the people. If we cannot recognize the truth, then it cannot liberate us from untruth. Truth is divine action entering our lives and creating the human action of liberation." So divine truth is what we're looking for amidst our feelings and the work that is done in our faith in the name of justice and racial equity. About living our faith out loud in places like St. E's, the dark and broken places, the places that seem full of shadows where we don't have to look, maybe because we don't have to. We live in the light, and we're not aware of what is in our shadows. And like I said, that is okay. In the sacred space, I want us to be able to admit that. That is okay. It does not make you a bad person to have assumptions, biases. That is what it is to be human. That is the point of shadows. Everyone has both light and shadow in them. We literally aren't aware of our shadows because we live in the light, and it's hitting us full in the face. And you can't see what you don't know about. But if someone points it out to us, helps us to see, it is our responsibility to hear them, to trust them, and to wrestle with our shadows and with our lights. So if anyone was at GA last year in New Orleans, Brian Stevenson gave an incredible lecture, and he talked about justice work being messy and relational. He talked about how it is impossible for a faith group that does justice work without being willing to be in relationship to make it happen. Said you have to be willing to be in a relationship with those deemed other, to wrestle with our shadows. Called it getting proximate to suffering. to not remove ourselves from it. So something I've learned at St. Elizabeth's is that getting proximate to someone who is suffering from poverty, from racism, from sexism, from mental illness of any kind, when you get close to that person, you cannot help but be in relationship. It's like gravity. It's biological, natural, inevitable. Just like the judgments and biases we carry around with us that we've learned growing up. It is part of being human. One of the first things you learn about being proximate to these shadowy spaces is that they will teach you more than you will teach them. Folks who live in the shadows know what it is to be stigmatized, to be other. Getting close to those who suffer, like Pete Rollins said, tells us more about ourselves than about those. The judgments and biases I have about people that are other, not just about mental illness, could be anything, gender, skin tone, class, political orientation. Hard pills to swallow sometimes, friends. It's about making me comfortable. It's about staring into the light and feeling warm and fuzzy. So I was just saying that good preaching means comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And we often can be both, right? We can be both afflicted and comfortable. But doing justice work means doing uncomfortable things, especially in the name of those who are afflicted. The road to justice, we say, the road to justice and liberation, as Cone writes, is a long, messy, uncomfortable relational process. It is just like the road to recovery from mental illness, I would ask you to think about. Whatever form that is, that's what we talk about at St. E's. We don't talk about cures because there is no cure for many mental illnesses. There is only recovery. It's not just about depression and schizophrenia. You can't think of a short-term, quick fix. You can't take a shower and be cleansed of your illness. Recovery takes time. We have the same discussion about all the isms in this country, in this faith, in our shadows. You cannot take a shower and be cleansed of your racism after one session. That is not how it works. And I know that I felt that way. I was beyond such isms. I was a good liberal boy. I made it out of West Texas, left all my stuff behind. I went to seminary. I worked with poor kids. I read James Cone. I read Dr. King. I marched. I went to Black Lives Matter rallies. I saw Black Panther twice. I'm a UU. Racist, classist, sexist? No. I'm better than those folks who voted differently than me. I'm better than that. I don't have a problem. They have the problem. I'm not crazy, Chaplain. And we call that paranoid narcissism. We got a lot of those at St. E's. So, here's the thing. I'm not that different, if I can admit it. I'm no different. Not just for my prejudice, my bias. I'm in recovery, too, from all of my stuff that's in my shadow. I'm still wandering on my journey, and I will be forever. That's part of being human, friends. Everybody's got something. You cannot cure a mental illness like racism or classism. You can only manage it on your road to recovery. And I will forever be in recovery. I will forever be working to show the parts of me that I don't know about, that I try to hide, that prevent me from being in relationship with the other, that prevents me from seeing the truth of my lights and my shadows. This is what it is to be human, that in each and every one of us is a person with all things going on. The boy who could only cry and the girl who could only laugh. Robert Johnson talks about how we need both the light and the shadow to become full human beings. That we need to own our stuff and talk about it in safe spaces, in sacred spaces, with bravery, with courage, with joy, with triumph, with despair, with wrestling. And we need to own our stuff and talk about what's keeping us from seeing ourselves in the other, those who live in the shadowy parts of the world. That's why the image on the front is the mandorla, the circles of light and shadow overlapping. That reminds us to stay hopeful, that we all have lights and shadows, and we are all working on it. Some of us are in different places. Some of us move at different speeds. As Brian Stevenson reminded us to stay hopeful in his lecture, he also said, remember that systems that have been created out of these isms, systems that have been created can be uncreated. The unmade systems and the shadows that are created and learned can be turned into tools that can be flipped around, harnessed, and help us to embrace our full humanity. When we talk about the beloved community, I hope we remember that it is under construction within us and around us. The moral arc of the universe is bent towards justice, but it is us who does the bending by doing our shadow work, because shadows are not necessarily negative. They are just a part of us. For the folks who love Disney movies, you might have seen the movie The Pirates of the Caribbean. There is a quote in that I love, where Captain Jack Sparrow says to the young man who does not want to be a pirate, he thinks he's a good person, and Captain Jack says, "You're a pirate, lad. You're going to have to square with that sooner or later." And so we are. If we can find a way to bring our feelings up, to be honest, to be open, to be vulnerable, to share with one another, if we can drop the barriers that we've been taught to put up, we can embrace our shadows, our lights, our truth. We can take the two sides and overlap them, and it does not become a place of gray, as we said. It becomes the basis of hope. It becomes a place of rainbow colors. This hope, this love, this beloved community, it is hard, it is messy, it is risky, it is uncomfortable, and it is worth it. It is worth it to learn how to love ourselves so that we may love others. Because religion is about the reintegration of our schizophrenic selves. If we can learn to put it together and reach out to someone and say, hey, here in this sacred space, and we are in a sacred space, what you got? Narcissism? Yeah, I got a little of that. Racism? Yeah, Texas. Got a lot of that. Sexism? Yeah, I got a little of that too. Let's work on it together. Let's work on the messiness, the places where our circles overlap. The overlap of light and shadow is not grayed, it is made rainbowed. So in the darkness of our shadows, those of our own selves and this country, there is a brilliant, hopeful light waiting to be seen by those who are looking for beloved community. As a religious people, we might say that in the heaven on earth that is the beloved community, there is light and shadow, but there is no darkness at all. And finding that light within us, and finding that light within them, and becoming from them to us is our calling. May that be so. Amen.